Hi, this is Amy. While much of my speaking and communicating is faith-based, I realize and respect that's not appropriate in all situations. That's why I'm happy to share I'm also available to speak with corporate groups and bring them the same message of balance, realistic, and applicable health in already full schedules. Coming up next is a speech I gave virtually to a women's group within a Fortune 100 company. I'd love to bring the same type of message to your group and can customize it to fit your unique needs. Simply email me at amy.cunnell@gracedhealth.com and let's connect. Okay, let's jump into the speech. Well, thank you, Betsy, for the invitation to come here. I'm really excited to get to know you all better and to just maybe provide a different perspective about health and fitness. You know, the title of this is Be Kind to Yourself by Breaking the Rules, and that we're going to break some rules today. Like I said, I'm a personal trainer. I would like to tell people that I'm the kind of personal trainer who wants you to take a day off and a nutrition coach who wants you to enjoy dessert. And more than anything, I want you to appreciate your uniquely created body so you can do what you're called to do. So this is not a typical health and wellness speech because I'm going to challenge you to think about health in a different way than maybe you have seen on the morning shows or the BuzzFeed articles or the Apple News articles or whatever it is, however you ingest your content. I'm going to challenge that mindset behind it. Now, one thing that we need to establish really quickly is by nature, I am a rule follower. At my core, I follow the rules. And just as some examples, I am the oldest child. Do I have any, if I can see you on the screen, raise your hand if there are any oldest children here in the group. I'm not seeing any, but my guess is there are probably, there's probably some. But if you're the oldest child, you know that oftentimes part of that, what goes along with that is you follow the rules. Myers-Briggs, I am a J, which is, oh gosh, I forgot what it was, but it is like you follow the rules, you do what you were told. I am an Enneagram type 9, which means I am a people pleaser. You know how you please people? You follow the rules. You do what you are supposed to do. In a DISC assessment, I'm a DS, which means I am very driven. I am project oriented. Again, you get that way by doing particular things sometimes. And now my latest way that I like to describe this is I obey my colors. Now, what does that mean? I recently had the opportunity to have a color assessment of what colors look best on my body. It was a really kind of fun experience, and I highly recommend it if you are interested in learning something like that. But it turned out I am a soft autumn, which means that all of these soft, earthy, warm colors look best on me. This was surprising to hear because I have been wearing berries and blues and grays for the last 5 years since that was my brand colors. And I thought, oh, well, this is why my bags are so bad when I'm wearing berries, is because it doesn't complement my skin. So after I had this color analysis, I went home and with some tools, which were little color swatches. So when I'm shopping, I can find the colors that work best for me. Now, I want you to take a look at these color swatches, and I really want you to hone in on one. If you will notice, if you can see me on the screen, I am wearing number 11. And I now obey whatever the colors are. These are the only colors I want to wear, even though I have a closet full of berries. So please send help. I am way too focused on these colors. But why do I tell you all this? I tell you because I feel like as women, we get caught up in the rules of health. And so often we hear the things that we feel like we are supposed to do because that's all of the inputs coming in, and they are maybe not necessarily what's best for us. But when we can't execute them, like whoever it is tells us that we should, we feel either shame, or we feel like we're just, whatever we're doing isn't enough, or we feel like, why bother? If I can't do it all the way, then I'm just not going to bother. My time today with you today is I would like for you to consider some of your own health rules. What have you heard about your body? What have you heard about and you know, your body in terms of how it's supposed to look? And we're going to get into all of this here in a second. What have you heard about food that you feel like these are the things that I have been told that I need to do? What have you heard about your fitness and your movement and your exercise? And where do you feel like maybe this is, I need to be doing this and I just can't get it done? Or maybe it's a combination of all three of those. So I'd like you to just kind of consider some of the things in your head about some of the health rules you have heard. And what I want to do is I'm going to break a few of the ones that are covered in my book, Your Worthy Body. What this book does is it takes all 22 health rules that I have heard, I have tried to live by. All of this is part of my own story and part of my own journey of walking out of being really tied to feeling like I have to live according to all of these rules. So I take these rules and I break them using exercise science, using nutrition science, and then in the book, it's done through a lens of faith. So that is kind of where we are coming from today. And I want to share with you some of these rules in the hopes that it will help you be kind to yourself. Because when we take the rules, take the things that we feel like we're supposed to do and maybe put them aside and really focus on what's best for us, then that is, in my opinion, one of the ultimate ways of being kind to ourselves. So let's be kind to ourselves and redefine what wellness truly is. Okay, first of all, I'm going to take a really quick drink because this is what I do. And then I'm going to spill a little on my shirt because apparently this is something I do as well. So forgive me for that. Okay, so we have three different areas to break the health rules, and I'm going to get into all three of these. Mindset, which is going back to what is our mindset, particularly surrounding our body, how we think we're supposed to look, our menu, which is all things food, and then the movement and how we move our bodies. Let's dig into mindset. So here are a few things that I would love for you to consider with regard to your mindset about health. I'm supposed to look a certain way. Now, I see that we have a lot of different age groups on there. As a white woman born in 1974, I can tell you that my experience was anytime I saw anything on a magazine article, because we read magazines back in the day, or billboards, or walked into a grocery store or drugstore, all I saw were skinny white women. And skinny white women are they exist, that is fine, but that is not representative of all of the diverse bodies that we have in our country, in this melting pot that America prides itself on. Thankfully, we are starting to see a wider range of body shapes, body sizes, body colors, and that was, you know, hopefully that will help us see that this actually, what I have seen and what I have compared myself to growing up, isn't necessarily the only way of looking at it. You know, we have a lot of different ways of thinking that we're supposed to look a certain way. And the science is really showing us that actually we are not, you know, BMI, by the way, I give two thumbs down because it only measures your body mass and your height. So if you are looking for something interesting, Google, not now, please, but Google professional athletes with a high BMI. And there are a lot of really fantastic professional athletes with a high BMI because they have a lot of muscle mass on them. That can be a tool to consider our health, but that's not the only one. And this kind of goes along with the second one, which is she has the perfect body. The reality is we were all uniquely created. We all have different body shapes and body sizes. And it, when we can start to recognize that we have a particular, we were designed a particular way, and we might be tall, we might be short, just like I was talking about with my boys. I've got two boys who are over 6 feet tall. I'm 5'4" on a tall day when I'm, you know, we're standing up really, really high. Excuse me. So taking out the mindset of, you know, having this particular body, and then What I really hone in on in my communication, because it's kind of the crux of what I do, is we take care of our bodies, not so it'll look a certain way, and not so it'll be the perfect body, but so we can fulfill our purpose. And some people use the word purpose, some people use the word calling or plan, but our bodies, we have something that we need to be doing for others. Whether that is our immediate family, whether that is for our coworkers or the people we serve at work, and taking care of ourselves by moving it and by eating foods that just come from the earth are the greatest ways that we can live out that purpose and that plan that we have. Now, if I could go really, really quickly, I want to talk about a few of those different areas, because sometimes if you hear the word purpose or calling or something like that, it's like, ugh, it's such a big deal. Like, you think these really big examples, but that might be the case. However, it also might be just a really small one. Maybe you want to make sure that you have a good quality lunch because you have a really big meeting in the afternoon, and having a salad with grilled chicken on it is going to keep you more alert and keep your clarity better than maybe running out and getting a burger and fries. I am not against burger and fries, by the way. I enjoy them. I think there's a time and a place for them. But when I consider what I need to do, then that will help drive what I eat. Or another example might be how we fuel ourselves during the day will impact how we feel at night. You've worked a long day. I know a lot of you travel for your jobs. I mean, a lot of you are off doing other things and multitasking. And then sometimes for those of you with little kids at home, you got to put them to bed. And that's exhausting. I mean, between dinner time and bath time and getting everybody, you know, maybe getting their homework done or just going through the list of the day, it can be really tiring. And I know for me, if I have not been kind to myself and if I have not done the things that I need to do for my own body, then I am not the kind of person that I want to be, either in the middle of the day or at the end of the day. So that's another way of looking at it, is not just like so our body will look a certain way, but more that we can use it to fulfill whatever it is that we are wanting to do. Excuse me. The other one I would love for you to consider is this saying, oh, I can tell you're healthy by looking at you. I'm not going to put you in this category. I, in the past, have been guilty of assuming someone's health just by visually assessing them. The reality is, our size is only one element of our health. And you guys are in the medicine industry. You get this. In the medical industry, you get this. Yes, it can be somewhat of a size. However, how's your blood work? How's your sleep? How's your mental health? How is your energy through that day? How's your mental clarity? Are you foggy brained all of the time? All of these go into the full and holistic definition of our health. And of course, blood work, I know you all have an appreciation for that. But that can tell us a whole lot about how things are functioning on the inside without regard to how we look on the outside. So those are the three rules that I would love for you to start thinking about with regard to your mindset. Let's move on to your menu. Okay. I wish I could see some hands on here. Who's heard carbs are the enemy? Yes. All right, Danny, I see your hands. Carbs are the enemy. Okay. This is the deal. This is the example that I love to use with carbs. And this particularly resonates with people who have grown up watching maybe Disney movies or are currently watching Disney movies. But there are two different types of carbs. There are carbs that are from the earth that provide nutrients and provide quality energy and all kinds of, just really good things. Then there are carbs that have been processed in a plant. They have had all the goodness stripped out of them. They have been, you know, a lot of times they're white, right? Like white flour, white sugar, just whiteness, cornstarch, I mean, whatever it is. And those really don't provide any nutrients. The analogy I love to give is, if you've heard of Cinderella, and probably all of you have, Cinderella worked hard. She added value to the household. She picked up after all of the all of the stuff that the evil stepsisters left. She was positive. She was upbeat. And what I would say is that the carbs that came from the earth are, and that you can easily identify, you can hold in your hand and say, an apple came from the tree, or nuts came from a tree, or sweet potatoes came from the ground, or, you know, any of this, or, okay, this had a mother, this is a chicken, and I know exactly where that came from. So very identifiable food, rather than, and I'm going to throw myself under the bus here, my gluten-free pretzels that I had earlier, which is a combination of a whole lot of different things, and I'm not really even sure like how they even got it together. Are they fun and crunchy and salty and delicious? Yes, but do I need to be eating them all the time? Probably not, because I would say that those are more of a processed food, even though they are gluten-free. The evil stepsisters, on the other hand, so we've got Cinderella, those are the good carbs, and then the evil stepsisters, they are a mess, they're negative, they're nagging, they don't add any value to the house, and those are what I would call our processed carbs, the white stuff, all of that. So what I try and encourage people to do is not think about carbs and put them all in one bucket, but think about the different kinds of carbohydrates that they are and how they can fuel your body, going back to, so you can do what you need to be doing for that day, that week, that month, that year, for what your purpose is. So I hope that makes sense with the carbs are the enemy. Another thing that I would love to challenge us in is, it's all about the nutrients. Now, if you may have heard about macronutrients, macronutrients are carbohydrates, proteins, and fat. All food is some combination of those three, with the exception of alcohol and water. So whatever you're eating, it is either, it's a combination, maybe sometimes it's purely protein, or it's purely fat, or a combination of those three, but carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. And there are a lot of programs that encourage you to look at those macronutrients and get them right within, to achieve your optimum health. I'm not debating that. And I have done a program like that before, and I do think that that is very beneficial. However, what I would love for us to consider is, maybe sometimes when we sit down, maybe at a meal like what is shown on the screen, with some sweet potato fries and a turkey burger and whatever else is on here, that maybe it's more than the nutrients. Maybe it's the time that we're having with our family or our friends, or maybe it's just that bonding experience that your team has when you go out to dinner. And those nutrients may not be perfectly executed, and that's okay, because you're filling your soul, you're filling another cup that desperately needs to be filled. This is another example of being kind to ourselves. Next week is Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, what your plans are, but my plans are, we're getting in a car. I live in the Houston area. We're driving up to the Dallas area, having dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, with my husband's family and extended family. And there will be a lot of really good pie. My parents are from Mississippi, or my in-laws are from Mississippi, so you know there's a lot of butter and salt. And I'm just not going to worry about it. And, you know, will the nutrients be perfectly executed? Will I have just the right amount of proteins and carbs and fats? No, especially with my father-in-law cooking. No. However, I will have the time with my family. We haven't all been together but once since COVID hit, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them. Sometimes I will go out to dinner with my girlfriends, and I just don't worry about it, because I need to laugh. I need to not shame myself for eating that chocolate cake at the end of dessert, or feel badly about something, about a choice that I made, because I know that that time with my friends is so important, and it will leave me feeling so much more nourished on the inside than any kind of perfectly executed meal. So if that's something that you try and do, go for it. But at the same time, allow yourself those moments to be nourished by something else rather than just the food. And then the other rule I would love for you to think about breaking in terms of the menu is there's one best diet. Today is November 18th. So we are just about at the time where we're going to start seeing the greatest, latest and greatest new diet coming along. Just by happenstance, right before the new year, when everybody tries to reset their eating and reset their movement. It's not happenstance. It is diet culture. And look, I'm part of the health and wellness industry that brings in $2 trillion in income a year in this country. However, we've got to keep a broader perspective. So there, whatever the latest and greatest that you may see out there, that might work for you, or it might not. We have to think about what is sustainable. What is realistic? What can I actually incorporate into my life without feeling like I'm just never getting it right? Because if that's the kind of thing that we are trying to achieve, but at the same time, we just can't because it's not realistic or it's not sustainable, then it's probably not what's best for us anyway. So I really challenge my readers and my community to think about, okay, what can I actually do? What will actually work for me in a long-term basis? And that is the diet that I would encourage you to follow. Not one that is fly by night, it's here, something we're going to see something new later. And if you want to try something for a period of time, give it a shot, try it. There's nothing that I'm going to say, well, most things, like cabbage diet and IV diet, please no. That's not okay. But if it's science-based, if it's research-backed, I know I'm speaking to just the right group to understand this, then give it a shot. See how it works for you. But if it doesn't, that's okay because our bodies are designed differently. We have different hormones. We have different energy needs. We have all kinds of different aspects. So it's okay for us to do something differently than what you may hear. All right, let's go on to the third one. All right, movement. So my bread and butter is fitness. I grew up moving. I grew up dancing. I have been participating in group fitness classes long enough that I used to wear a thong leotard to step aerobics. I'm really okay that we don't do that anymore. So movement is a really easy one. I love talking about movement. One of the things, if that resonates with you, with or without the thong leotard, one of the things that I think people are hesitant to embrace sometimes is the benefit of walking. I hear all the time, oh, walking isn't a real workout. Oh, well, I just walked today or something like that. Walking provides so many benefits. It can provide benefits with your blood pressure. It can actually strengthen your core, believe it or not, when you walk kind of with your shoulders back and engage your core. Walking helps with your cardiovascular system. So there's a lot of really great benefits to walking. And if you are like me and have spent a lot of time in the fitness industry, you have probably heard about benefits of high intensity movement, which yes, is wonderful. And strength training, yes, it's wonderful. But what is not talked about as much is taking it down a notch and not going into the gym or going in, you know, wherever you decide that you want to work out and slamming your face against the wall every single time. We've got to give our body that recovery, that repair and replenishment that it needs. Walking is fantastic for this, especially if it's at a moderate pace. You don't even need to get that real strong power walk in. You can just keep it at a moderate level. So walking absolutely is a real workout. And the other thing that I love about it is I am able to integrate walking with my friendships. Some of my deepest friendships were made on my sidewalks. Because you get out there, you're side by side. I walk first thing in the morning. Oftentimes, you don't have to look at anyone and you just get really vulnerable really quickly. So those are really great ways to get your movement in. and not be so hard on your body that it's just going to tear it down. Another rule that I hear, and that's a chapter in my book, is, well, I have to get my hour of exercise in. Now, I blame my own industry for this, because group fitness will start at 9 o'clock and it will end at 9:55. And every kind of programming for a long time was centered around that 55-minute schedule. Where did that come from? Where's the science behind that? The science now is not necessarily that. I mean, it's 75 minutes of vigorous activity per week, or 150 minutes of moderate activities. We don't need to get an hour of exercise in every single day. If you want to do it, that's great. But allow yourself to get in those shorter workouts. Those high intensity exercises that BuzzFeed tells us is so good, they are good. But what they don't always say is the more intense the exercise, the shorter it should be. In fact, the latest research says that 20 minutes is really ideal. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Lynn Kravitz, not Lenny Kravitz, Dr. Lynn Kravitz out of the University of New Mexico. He's done all kinds of studies on high intensity exercise, and 20 minutes is really the recommended amount. So if you're short on time, and I know that, it's a lot. It's hard when you're working full time, and if you're traveling, and if you have kids at home, it's a lot. So I hope that gives you some freedom to get 20 minutes in and not feel like you have to get out there for a full hour. And then the final rule to break with the movement is there's one right way to exercise. We have heard a lot of different things you have to strength train, you have to do high intensity, you have to spin, you have to do Peloton, you have to do the Peloton treadmill, whatever that is. I mean, there's a million different things out there. The best way to exercise is the one that you can do consistently. That's it. Yes. Are there ideal ways? Yes. Do we have guidelines? Yes. But if it causes us to not do anything because we hate sitting on a bike, spinning our feet because we feel like a hamster in a hamster wheel, and you don't like that, then don't do it. Find something different. There's Zumba, there's yoga, there's Tai Chi. Mobility is a big favorite of mine. So don't feel like there is one right way. The right way is the one that will, that you can do consistently. So my dad, whenever I was growing up, he would say, you never present a problem without also providing a solution. So I've given you some problems here of like, well, I don't want you to obey these rules. And what I wanted to do is provide solutions as well. So in my book, Your Worthy Body, what I have is at the end of most chapters, I think there's 22 chapters and maybe like all but 4 or 5 have a resource at the end. So at the end of every chapter, I provide a resource. Some of them are journal prompts. Some of them have some metrics for you to look at. So if you have been to the doctor recently, write down some of your blood work. Some of them talk about, it explores the different kinds of callings that we have. I have recipes in there. So for the chapter entitled Pass the Bucket, where I say actually throwing up during or after a workout, actually that's not good. And I give you the resources and I give you some recipes to help prevent that. By the way, that's an electrolyte issue oftentimes, or a hydration issue. I didn't get into that one. And then I also provide tutorials and videos. So at the end of each section, I have a QR code. You can scan the QR code. It takes you to an online resource library, and you can do the workouts with me until you get tired of me, and then you can do them on your own with the printable. I have some warm-ups and cool-downs and then 32 movement demos. So the intent was for me to say, this is not what I want you doing, and here are some alternative ways to make it simple and to make it work for you. So at the end of every chapter, I have what's called the simple take. This is something that I do at the end of my podcasts where I say, okay, what's the one simple thing I want you to remember? Because if you have listened to podcasts, you know that sometimes there are, you're just ingested with a lot of information and you want to just kind of pull out one thing. So I pull out one thing from either the conversation or the lesson for you to remember. I want to do the same for you here today. The simple take for our time is your eating, movement, and body don't have to be perfect. You just need to move it in a way that works for you and fuel it with the earth's food so you can do what you're called to do. You are worth it. If you would like to connect more, I would love that. I am on Facebook. I hang out on Instagram the most because I find Instagram to be nicer personally. And then I do have, as Betsy said, I do have the Graced Health podcast. And then of course I do have Your Worthy Body that just released that's available on Amazon. So with that, I will stop sharing the screen and Betsy, I will send this back to you.